Alraai, goeiemôre. Jesus, dis lekker om terug te wees, mense. Hierdie was die taaiste 5 maande. The toughest 5 months in my life. I don't know how I'm going to make it without people. He's so right. This is quite a heart this morning. Father, thank you that we know you the way maker. You're the peacemaker. You're the bondage breaker. Lord, have our hearts this morning as we sit at your feet to drink from your cup this morning. Only you and me this morning. I don't look at people around me. It's me and you this morning. Precious Spirit, fill this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a question this morning. Now, first of all, is to be an overcomer and slain your giants. Now, the question this morning is, what do I have to do to be a champion for God? Who wants to be champion for God? I want to be a champion for God. Amen. So are you prepared to become an overcomer? So in order to be a champion for God, you need to become an overcomer. You have to be a giant slayer. You have to be a giant slayer. You can't, there needs to be, before there's a breakthrough, there needs to be a breakthrough. And the breakthrough comes when we slay our giants. Now, if you have answered yes this morning, today you're going to face your giants in your life. I have many. Now, I want to start off with two stories this morning. There's one in our time, and there's one that played off in the biblical times. Now, the first one, I don't know if you know Desmond Doss. He was a Christian, and he desired in the 40s, 1945, he desired to become a soldier. But he had a tough time becoming one because, however he wanted to become a soldier, he refused to carry a firearm. Now, there was a movie that was made about him. The movie was called Hacksaw Ridge. I don't know how many of you saw it. That was released in 2016. Now, later on, he was enrolled as a medic in the army. But he had a tough time. He was mocked. He was harassed by his fellow soldiers. Even the officers, every day planned, how can they get rid of this man, discharge him, even try to discharge him on grounds of mental illness. Even the film producer in 2000, just before the movie was released, they've done an interview with him, and he said, listen, looking at the profile of this young man, there was nothing I found that could make him a soldier. But see, in the year of 1945, everything changed. When Desmond Doss and his company faced one of the bloodiest battles ever in the Pacific Ocean, they had to conquer a hill called Hacksaw Ridge, where the Japanese was, to overpower the enemy. They tried everything, but after a fearful battle, they lost many, and they were asked to retreat. Everybody retreated except for this young corporal called Desmond Doss. He looked at the battlefield, and what he saw was many wounded men that needed help. And without any doubt in his heart, he started running forth and back into the fire line of the enemy with artillery, with machine gun, back and forth, carrying out wounded soldiers. I think he was busy for almost 12 hours, the history book says. 12 hours. And after this 12 hours, there was about plus minus 75 men. For this, he received the Medal of Honor. Then after that, he picked up a lot of shrapnel in a hand grenade or in an explosion. But he refused the medics to give attention to him as he was giving attention to other wounded. And then one of his arms was shattered by a machine gun fire from the Japanese. And he landed up in hospital where he was for 5 years to recover. Later, one of his officers, maybe one of these same officers that was trying to get rid of him, brought him his blood-soaked Bible. And told him that they have actually won the war against the Japanese. And that's not all. He said, and it's told, the book said that this Bible was actually his fellow soldiers refused to leave Hacksaw Ridge until they found his Bible. Now, I just want to get to my next story. Now, in the Bible, there's many champions. I mean, we've got, even Moses was a champion, and Joshua. And I mean, there's so many champions. But I think my favorite is David. And I think he fought many battles, and one of the battles all of us remember, and even the children remember, is the one against the giant Goliath. Now, where did this battle was? As Hacksaw Ridge, this battle was of David was also at a reach, and that reach was called Sochoch, meaning hedged, and Ezekah, meaning fenced around. Can you see where the enemy? He's always there where he's hedged and where it's faced around. And when he gets you in this valley where the fort was, he will capture you. And that's what the enemy does. But I've got a scripture for that, and that's in Job 1 verse 10, where God says, I'm the hedge of your protection around you. So in 1 Samuel 17, I'm not going to go through, read through the whole scripture or the whole chapter this morning. I'm just going to refer to some of the verses. 1 Samuel 4. It starts off here by describing two champions. There was a champion of the Philistines, and then there was a champion of God. Now, the first one that was described was a champion of the Philistines. And he's got three. They describe him in three categories. The first one, they say, he was a champion of size. When we read in 1 Samuel 14, it describes this statue, the size of this man, this giant named Goliath. His height was 6 cubits and a span, which means it was about 10 foot 3. I mean, imagine that. I think I'm 6 foot 2, 10 foot 3. That is huge. The average man in those days on the battlefield was about 5 foot 6. He was weighing 226 kilograms, 2.5 times my size. Then his figure was covered in bronze and brass. I mean, only the coat that he wore was almost 40 kilograms. The spear was close to 10 kilograms. Then he had 6 different armor. He had a helmet of brass, a coat of mail, 4 greaves of brass for each one, one for each leg, a target of brass between his soldiers, and a spear with brass head. All in all, plus minus 60 kilograms that he carried with him. So when we see Goliath with his height and with his spear in hand, 6 cubits, the spear was 6 sickles. It just shows us to the end times as well. I just picked this up, the revelation this morning. It was a 6 spans, then the 6 sickles of the spear, and then he had 6 different armor that he had. 666. Shows us to the enemy, the antichrist of the end times. Then the next thing, he was a champion by shout. Because it's written here in verse 8 to 10, that he cried with a loud voice to the armies of Israel. He was so fearful that not one man came forward. There's thousands and thousands of Israelites on the other side of the valley. Not one man came forward after he shouted. I'm sure that if I look at 10 foot 3, that should have been for every person. That's a fearful experience. So what does the Bible, that's the three things of Goliath. What about the champion of God? He was described in the following. He was first a champion by conviction. So we read in verse 26, young David speaking to the men beside him, and when Goliath came out to challenge them, he was standing there having a chat, and his brothers was there as well, overhearing this. He was shocked. I can imagine David was shocked that not one man of this people that he looked up, even his brothers that were soldiers, he was too young to be a soldier, but not one of them went forward. And then David showed us that we need to stand firm in our convictions. That's the first one, a man of conviction, even if those close to us tell us that we can't try to discourage. You see, also like Desmond, he was a good example of somebody standing by his conviction. In Romans 14:22, as for the faith you do have it as your own conviction before God. How blessed is the person who has no reason to condemn himself because of what he approves. Are we there this morning? Secondly, David was a champion of courage. In verse 26, David asked, what shall be done for the man who kills a Philistine? And we heard there that the fellow soldiers, or the soldiers, they said that the man who killed the soldier, King Saul, said that he will give one of his daughters for him in marriage, and he will remove all tax. That his father or his father's house won't pay any taxes anymore. In verse 32, David told Saul, let no one. Before that, in verse 28, what was his brother's reply? When he was speaking there to this guy asking, they said, David, so they said here, They were actually angry when they overheard this and telling him, why did you come here? And with whom is the few sheep left while you're here? Even a sarcastic is looking down on small David, say, who's looking after that few sheep while you are here on the battlefield? And then 32, David told Saul, let no one of no one's courage fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. He will go fight this giant. 33, Saul told David, you can't go against a Philistine and fight him. You are the only a young man, but he has been a warrior since his youth. Saul even tried to give his weapon fare and his weaponry to David and say, please put this on. Go with my weaponry and go fight. And it was too heavy for him. So we need to know that as with David and Doss, if we want to become a champion of God, there's one thing we need to. We have to set ourselves up for a lot. The moment you make the decision this morning, for God, I want to be a champion for you. You see, setting yourself up for a lot of heat, discouragement, criticism when you enter the battlefield for God. You see, we need to have the courage promised in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and courageous. Don't fear or tremble before them, because the Lord your God will be the one who keeps on walking with you. He won't leave you or abandon you. I remember how many people tried to talk me out of things that I know that God has told me to get into. You see, these people normally are very close to you. It could be family, friends. They don't have the courage, and they don't want you to succeed. You see, the men, David asked the question, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine? Knew the reward. They knew what the reward was, but they were not prepared to stand against this giant. David had something that Goliath didn't have. What was that? God personally issued him with his weapon fare. He had a sling, a pouch, and five stones. You see, and when David had, it says here, Goliath was even insulted because he was a shepherd. He had also a staff with him. So Goliath was insulted and asked David, and he thinks he's a dog that he comes with him with a stick. He cursed David by his guards and said that he will be food for the birds. This is what David replied in the next one, the champion of confidence. Listen at David's confidence to this one. You see, David had confidence in God. So David replied in verse 45 to 6 and said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, of the hosts, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. This was the secret that made David, as Desmond Doss, an overcomer and a giant slayer. That confidence. You see, both declared, Desmond and David, they both declared the following. They declared that the battle was not theirs, but it was God's battle. You see, in Hebrews 10:35, it's written, so don't lose your confidence. Hebrews 10:35. Don't lose your confidence, since it holds a great reward for you. See, there's a greater reward for David. There was a greater reward for David in staying by his conviction and a man of confidence. David was not interested in the reward. So here we have two champions with two different descriptions. Goliath, a champion described by his size, his appearance, his big shout, or by his physical appearance. And David, champion of God, by his conviction, his courage, his confidence, all by his spiritual attributes. You see, that's how the enemy must see us. Not by our physical appearance, but our spiritual attributes. 1 Samuel 14, 17, verse 48. When the Philistine got up and God came closer to meet David, listen what David's done. David quickly ran to the battle line to meet the Philistine. You see, 1 Samuel 49, David reached his hand into his bag, took a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead. He fell onto his face, and David took his sword and removed his head. You see, to be a champion and overcomer, we have to approach our giants in our life. And we have to slay the giant. Sometimes the giant falls, but we don't remove the head. We have to remove that head. You see, to be a champion lies in five principles that I found in this story. The first principle was, refuse to be discouraged. I mean, there's so many things around us. COVID-19, masks, there's just so many things that is trying us daily to discourage us from what God wants us to do. Always be alert and get yourselves ready into position when you are about to do something great for God. The moment you're going to do something great for God, be alert, because something is going to happen. There's going to be a battle, and a battle is not always easy. Many people will try to discourage you and give you reasons why you should fail. As with David, it comes from those closest to you who do not want you to succeed. In Joshua 1 verse 9, God says, Joshua, I've commanded you, haven't I? I've commanded you, haven't I? Be strong and courageous. Don't be fearful or discouraged, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Secondly, we have to align and strengthen our focus back onto the Lord. You see, we just take Peter. When Peter got out of the boat, it wasn't the rough seas. His focus was on Jesus, because he said, Jesus, can I come to you? He says, yes, come. And he walked, and the moment he looked down and he saw the storms, he sank, because he lost focus. We don't need to lose focus. You see, we are not part of circumstances. We are champions and overcomers. Because how many times you come to people, how are you doing today? Man, under the circumstances, I think I'm okay. Man, we don't have a God of okay. We're not part of circumstances. We're part of possibilities and overcoming. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search me with your whole heart. You see, that's mean focusing on God and aligning yourself is to come with everything. God wants everything. He wants everything. You see, it's okay to tell God how big my giants and my problems are. But sometimes it's better to go and tell your giant and your problems how big your God is. You see, focus on God, not your giants or your circumstances. Rely on God's strength, not your own. To focus means to constantly keep your eyes on God when everything around you is dark and uncertain. You see, in the times that we live, it's uncertain times. This is now that we need to focus back onto God. Remember this, always put your problems, your giants, in perspective by aligning your strength and your focus on God, and then go right in and win the fight. But it's God's fight. It's not my fight. Rely onto God for your own weapons. Do not try and use somebody else. Somebody else, listen, this worked for me. Please, this, you know, just take this. This will work. Don't. Find your own solutions. Find your own weaponry from God. Doesn't matter how old you are today. All of us sitting here are warriors for God, or warriors to be, champions to be, and champion of God. Number three, always reflect on your previous victories. Doesn't matter. We all have victories. I mean, doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 20 years or maybe just a couple of months. There's been victories in your life. And you need to call upon those victories. David did exactly this. When he came and he gave a whole list of his accomplishments to King Saul. When he said, I have overpowered. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. And the enemy heard this. And he said, I will do the same. And God will give me the power to do the same to this giant. So by declaring that he went after both lion and this, he actually risen up as a warrior. And God was there to do the fight for him. That's important to know. By every victory, there comes a test. And if you sit here maybe this morning, I wonder how many hands will I see if I say, have you ever been tested? Because if you sit here this morning and you've never been tested, maybe you don't have a testimony. You see, a testimony is so important this morning. We need to understand that if we go back to the Hebrew root, testimony means to do it again. And when David said, I did this and this, and was testifying to Saul against the lion and the bear, immediately David was calling the then miracle into the now. So this is what your testimony does. The moment you testify, you call that miracle right into the now, and God will do it again. That's what it means to do it again. You see, Revelation 12:11, and this is a very important one. And they overcome him. Who? The dragon. Who's the dragon? The giant in your life. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the sword of your testimony. The fourth principle. Confront your giants and do not avoid, hide, or retreat. How many of us sit with all these giants? Doesn't matter. I'm going to give a few lists there, but let's say unforgiveness or denial or whatever it is. And we just hide behind this denial, or we hide behind. So listen, I don't have to face that people. You have to face your giant. You can't overcome it by avoiding it, hiding, or retreat. You see, in Exodus 2, verse 15, what did Moses do? Moses ran away from Pharaoh. And that cost him 40 years into the desert. Now, I hear so many people, Christians, daily, then they tell you, listen, man, but it's going good because I'm in my desert time, my 40 years. Man, where is it in the Bible God wants you in a desert time? There's no way where I read that that's what God wants. That was by their own choice that the Israelites was 40 years in the desert. It was by Moses' own decision that he and choice that he was there for 40 years. So the only way that he could face, well, to overcome this giant of fear in his life, he had to go back after 40 years and face Pharaoh and face the giant and destroy it. You see, a lesson that we learned, that I learned from you, was that we cannot wish our giants to disappear. You see, it's so easy that sometimes I just say, I've got this thing against the brother or something happened and doesn't matter what it is in my heart, but I just want it. Time will heal. That is from the devil. Time doesn't heal. Maybe with physical sickness like my back now, time, it takes time to heal. Now, the first example, something that I learned from this lesson is that your giants don't disappear. What did Goliath do? He was for 4 to 6 weeks. Every afternoon, exactly the same time, he was on that hill, cursing the God of the Israelites, challenging them. 4 to 6 weeks he was doing it. He wasn't disappearing. And then also, another example was that we can read that, another confirmation of giants that will reappear in your life, you can read of in 2 Samuel 21, verse 15 to 22. And this is also the reason. Have you wondered why did God give David the command to go to the river, pick up 5 smooth stones, and put it in his pouch? Because God knew there's 4 giants waiting for David. David didn't realize it. After slaying Goliath, I maybe just have this picture in a big glass case in the castle where he was staying. There was this head of Goliath with his sword to display of everyone that he slain the giant. Never did he knew there comes a day, because the Bible says in 2 Samuel 21 verse 15, and the day came when David was weary. And when he was weary, he faced another 4 giants, but he couldn't tackle them. And that's why God gave him another 4 stones. And the first giant that there was called Isbi-Benob. Now, Isbi-Benob means to take capture of the high place. You see, this is what giants do, because the high places was the place where the altars of God were built. So they capture the high places so that we can't pray. And the first one that came, it was fearsome, and he was called Isbi-Benob. And he was killed by one of the cousins and servants of David. The second one was Saph, also the son of Rapha from the giant family. And the third one was the brother of Goliath. Can you imagine? A twin brother of Goliath. Here comes the servant said, David, you must come and have a look. This is impossible. But Goliath is back. Can you? I think there was at that moment an old man that was weary. There was fear in his heart when he said, but this can't be this. There is Goliath again. But he was slain. And fourthly, there was a monster. Didn't give his name. He had 24 toes. He had 24 fingers and toes. He had 6 on each hand, 6 toes on each feet. And they all, in verse 22, it's written that these giants fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. See, God is never going away. God is never going away. Even if David couldn't have slain, God was there for him that day. And maybe there's giants in your life that's reappearing, reappearing, reappearing. It's time to remove the head of this giant. See, the only way to deal with giants is when they appear in your life is to confront them and deal with them. Like David, you confront your problem head on. You don't get somebody. I mean, it's good to pray. Get people to start praying. Yes, that's fine. But sometimes there's giants in our life that people spray can't help us. We need to face that giant. It's I'm sitting with this guilt, this shame, this unforgiveness in my life, which is this giant that I have to overcome. Sometimes these giants are created by us. And the enemy takes this opportunity to bring that giant against you on a daily basis. Fifthly, when you confront your giant, always remember for whom you are in battle. Remember, God only gives the hardest battles to his strongest soldiers. So sometimes when you say, Lord, but why me? Say, thank you, Lord. You put me as one of your strongest soldiers. And to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. God is giving this word to us at this point. 2 Chronicles 20, 17. You won't be fighting in this battle. Take your stand, but stand still. And watch the Lord's salvation on your behalf. Never fear and never be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, since the Lord is with you. You see, in this principles lies the strategies to be an overcomer. I'm going to give you a few strong scriptures in Revelation. The first one is Revelation 2, verse 26. And it says, he that overcome and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over nations. Revelation 21, 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. See, here comes God and he said, you will be his son, you'll be his daughter. Remember what God did for David? He will do for us as well. See, David knew this, and he knew whom he was in battle for. Always, you always need to read. The moment I enter into battle, for whom am I in this battle? What is the difference? What a difference will it be if we go into the battle like this young David did? You see, we sit with giants of anger, giants of bitter roots of fear, giants of shame, giants of guilt, giant of insecurities that I'm not good enough. That's a giant thing of. Giant of idols. Giant of unforgiveness, of pride, of unmet expectations. We are expecting too much from a husband, our child from a father that we can't meet, and that brings fear. And that's a giant in your life. And you can add on any other giant maybe you sit with in your life this morning. You see, come, it's time that we arise and slay these giants for once and for all in your life. Are you ready to do that? And ask the Lord to empower you with the attributes of a champion this morning. I want to do a prophetic action this morning. Because I believe there's power when God sees that you are. Those who have giants in their life can stand with me this morning and take up your weapon God is issuing to you this morning. So maybe, my cousin, you can start just playing something. Maybe on the drummer as well. Let me do a declaration. So let us do this prophetic action. Those who want to join me in standing this morning. So God says this morning, my son, my daughter, stand firm and take up your weapon. Now take your sling of courage. Take it. I want to see it this morning. Lord, we take up our slings of courage this morning. We take a stone from the pouch of confidence. We take a stone of conviction and place it into the stone into the sling this morning. And we slung it and we bring down the giants to fall on his face this morning. As I am with you, says the Lord. God says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with you and I will be with you with your strength. In John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because he that is in you are greater than he who lives in the world. The question today, do you want to be a champion for God and overcomer, overcome your giants? To repeat after me this morning, I'm going to do right thing and confront my giants. I refuse to be discouraged. I strengthen my focus on the Lord. I will confront my giant and will not retreat, ignore, or hide from them. I know and is sure for whom I enter into battle, the only true and living God. Let us declare this morning, I will not focus on my circumstances, Lord, and fears, as it will just grow bigger and bigger and bring about more fear and terror. We come now, this Lord, and we focus onto you, who are this our strength and our power. Father, we declare, stepping into this new season of defeating our giant by your power and experiencing new opportunities, new victories, Lord. We declare free movement of your Holy Spirit in this place right now. Bring forth your power to increase the courage, the conviction, the confidence amongst your children, your sons and daughters this morning, so we can be champions for you, Lord, and be overcomers of our fears. Father, we declare today, we want to run towards our giants and confront them in victory this morning. We declare that all power and victory lies within our submission to you and not to do allow the fear of giants to weaken us. Father, we declare, come and empower us with the attributes of true champions, of conviction, of courage and confidence. Father, we cry out for a visitation of your presence here today and a supernatural touch of your love, your power, and your might. Today we declare, stand firm, says the Lord. We stand firm and we will be overcomers, Lord. God says, my sons, my daughters, you bring forth the fullness of my glory as overcomers. And by the faith in me, I will empower you to slay your giants and become my champions. God says, for everything that has been born of me will overcome the giants and fears of the world. And your faith will bring victory. Lord, we declare, as we overcomers, by our faith, we have the power to rise up from the ashes of our fears as your true champions this morning. Lord, we submit to you. Empower us and bring down the walls of strongholds in our lives. Lord, we pray that the praises of our victories becomes the testimony's call into the new that will silence the giants in our lives. We are overcomers. We are giant slayers. We are your champions. Amen. Amen.
Baie dankie, Jan. Awesome. Ons het al baie altar calls gehad in hierdie kerk, maar ek dink hier is die grootste een nog. Amen. Thanks a lot for that. Ek weet nie, gaan julle vir ons ietsie speel en daar sal koffie wees vir die ouens en soos Mos altyd sê, a stranger is just a friend you not yet met. So talk to someone, you really want to talk to someone about some strongholds or something. These guys with patch wearing guys with the CMA back patches, they are for Bikers Church, and you can really go talk to them.